When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of the Tigers. What are the metrics here? Podcast here at TigersMLReports.com. I am Rogelio Castillo. Alongside me is Uper, and Chris will be along shortly as the Tigers 9-1. Sorry, 9-1 is the final. The Tigers were no hit for, I believe, 5.5 innings of bad baseball all around. The Blue Jays came into town and they scored 3 in the ninth. Perez looked a little shooken up after trying to chase down the ball. The top of the order tonight went, it was just a combined effort of 2-for-11, the top of the order. I'm sorry, if you include Ibanez pinching for Riley Green, who has struggled a little bit is not even the word. It's just been one thing after another. And after coming back from a series where the Tigers were swept by the Royals, and it was 2 8-3 losses, and the entire week was just a we'll get to it. There's a lot to unpack here. There is some anger among the fan base has every right to be angry. I'm not going to dispute that, but just seems like there's some coded messaging going across the airwaves and everything. But first and foremost, please subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or listen to podcasts. And also, don't forget to give us a review. If you haven't had a chance to give us a review, please do. And also, if you haven't followed us on Twitter at Tigers, or for the Motor City Metrics account, there you go. And there's also our Tigers Twitter at Tigers ML Report. Please subscribe to that, those two, or to our YouTube channel. And the logo is our secondary logo, by the way, in the right hand corner for YouTube. I haven't, it's a logo from the old Tiger SRD days that I haven't used in a while, and felt like it needed to be popped back out again. As Chris joins us in the butt, Chris, in the butt.
What? I'm sorry. What?
The Tigers took it in the butt.
That's where they're. Oh, well, that's, yeah, that's May. This is international take it in the rear month, I guess. For the Tigers are, man, you know, this is pretty low, right? 5-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Pretty consistent losing with little offense and bullpen meltdowns. It's hard to watch. And it was, and yet again, this is, I don't know how many times this year this has happened. Seems particularly common recently, where it's a relatively close game and then everything just falls apart at the end. And it's that just, that stings.
Yeah.
Well, how much more we got to lose?
Yeah, how much you want us to lose?
We're losing for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in an uncompetitive stretch right now. They're just not even competitive in any of these games this week. And yeah, they kind of got things close at the end, but the offense is back to a point now past the Arizona series where there's just no danger in that lineup. I mean, you don't think anything's about to bust loose at pretty much any time.
And it was another one of those, like we talked on last time the show, where, you know, it almost felt like, you know, had Wenzel Perez you know, brought in both runs with that two out single, that great at bat, then maybe things would have played out a little differently. Although, you know, Flaherty was still back out there pitching and he's the one who gave up the big home run. But you do wonder, it's just one of those things where you compound the errors. I think Hinch ordinarily does not push pitchers past 100 pitches in an outing. And he left Flaherty in there to face Dalton Varsho, a lefty who hit a two run homer against him. And I think that's partially because of the way the bullpen has been taxed lately and partially because of the way that they've been pitching lately. And it kind of snowballs right now. And there aren't a lot of answers out there. And I know fans probably want something to happen, but we've already seen, I don't think we're going to see much more of, like Alex Lang getting sent down, right? You know, like they did that and Mason Englert came up and reminded us that he's Mason Englert, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then there was the AJ Hinch, the competitive comment too. There's just a couple of things that were going back and forth in media with that. So I wanted to go down there today, but I mean, I need to go down there this weekend. I'm probably going to go down there Sunday, or more like, because tomorrow I'm going to Erie, Saturday. Maybe have a good chance I might go down there too, but it's just, it really depends. But yeah, the whole vibe right now has just been in terms of just, he's been curt with the media for reasons that are pretty simple. I mean, there's just, is it coded messaging that he's getting out there that this is the lineup. This is what it is right now. And if you're looking for some sort of relief from the minor leagues, that's where we can tell you right now ain't happening.
Well, they're not going to do that. First of all, baseball front offices move at a glacial time compared to fans, right? Fans live and die with every inning. And they're not going to do that because they're not going to make Justin Henry Molloy and Jace Young the saviors of the offense and have them come up and struggle, right? Like maybe they'll bring up Parker Meadows again because he's hitting well. And, Canna has been struggling. Green is really struggling. There's no easy answer right now. We knew this offense was going to struggle all year. They've told us that as much. And this is the result. And right now the problem is that the bullpen is really falling apart. And, you get a really rough Casey Mize start. You get Reese Olson getting hit by a comebacker. And suddenly everything falls apart. And it's just teams go through this during the year, right? And it always sucks when you're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
There's no question when you watch the offense over the last month, if they were going to get a bad turn through the order, they were going to be due for a week like this where it's just an absolute mess because the starting pitching was kind of the glue of the whole thing. And, I'm not saying they're going to stay this way. I'm sure they'll pop back into form here, but they were due for a bad turn through the order.
And then we have a new favorite Royal now is Mike Keel. Garcia is Chris's new favorite Royal, who's going to be a guy who feels like he's going to annoy the Tiger fans for a while, just based off like that. There was that in a game against Skubal, just had that like the soft liner back to center field. The Tigers are not getting hits like that. And the Royals are just in terms of able to just make hard contact with everything. It was the same thing. Like tonight, for example, when you have Isaiah, what's the guy's name?
Kiner Falefa.
Kiner Falefa. Kiner Falefa roasting you, then you know you have problems. I mean, this is a guy who, that was the whole thing that I've just noticed. It's like Flaherty pitched brilliant, and you have to pitch brilliant, but then you go out there, Kevin Gausman's like, sure.
Yeah, no hits through into the sixth?
Yeah, into the sixth. And nothing. It's one of those things where you have to sit there as a fan and go, somebody said, well, why don't you lay down a bunt? They're not going to bunt in that situation either. Riley Green's not going to lay out a bunt, no offense or anything like that, but there's just situations where it doesn't matter. Detroit, no matter what they're going to do, it's not going to make a difference. The bats are just what they are. And that's the frustrating part is, especially in a game like Kansas City, for example, you look at their young core players and you say to yourself, they can rake. I mean, they could rake. Cole Keith has been him better as of late. But Spencer Torkelson is what he is. Riley Green has been struggling. And Riley Green's the best player on the team by far. But then it just drops off the face of the planet after that. And it's just, it's been, it's like a reality that I didn't really want to face. But the more I sit there and watch it, it's just like, just.
So here's the thing, like, and I've heard, I mean, there's been, I've heard every complaint over this last week, right? Just about everything you could talk about, you know, the Tigers didn't spend enough money on bats or whatever, like, you know, and then I go, okay, well, where were the, what were the big bats that the Royals spent money on, or the Guardians spent money on, right? The Royals went out and got Garrett Hampson and what, Hunter Renfroe. Who else did they get? Adam Frazier was there last year. Was he a free agent this year? But like, they didn't, you know, go out and buy a bunch of huge bats. It's their young guys are hitting right now, and particularly at home. But they had a worse offense than the Tigers last year, and suddenly they've, you know, it's like average this year. In Cleveland, who'd they go get? They didn't go and get anybody, did they? It's just Josh Naylor doing his thing, and so it's just, it's frustrating, and it's and my inside the number is actually a holdover from last week's show that I couldn't use, but it's kind of talking about this where this hard to find a quality offense, but for whatever reason, it just seems like anathema to the Tigers. They cannot they can't do it to save their lives.
No, I mean, what the Royals did was they addressed the weakness, which was pitching, by signing pitchers. I mean, Michael Wacha's been a really good, watching his changeup dance has been I'm not trying to say it was the lights, but it was just like, damn, like just watching that tumble action on it to get that. By the way, I think StreamYard is making the comments huge. All of a sudden, just everything's just much bigger. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, check this out. Like, watch. Liz.
It looks normal to me.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Normal here.
All right, weird. Maybe it's just, you know what? Maybe because, my Zoom is fine. I'm not old and anything like that. But no, it's the I don't think the one thing that Todd63 says, and it's true, and I know that you press said this. Does anyone honestly think the Royals can keep this up for 4 months, or Cleveland for that matter? You know, the Royals, I think, you know, I think the biggest thing for the, what I think the Royals can do based off what they have offensively speaking, they might get in some lulls, but their free agent pitching has keep them in games, I think. And so, and their bullpen's not bad either. John Schreiber, former Tiger, doing too bad.
And Bobby Witt is playing like an MVP, and he hasn't had the slump like Riley Green was playing like that for a while, but he's had this really rough slump, and Bobby Witt has not slumped. And when you got a one guy on your offense that's driving things like that, that can change a lot. We've seen the difference with the Tigers. You know, there were games there where it was just like, okay, well, Riley Green, I guess, is going to have to hit a 3-run homer, and then he would. And you go, okay, that'll work. And I think they have a better supporting cast, and it's a bunch of guys that, for the most part, we never really heard of. Mikel Garcia was not like a top 100 prospect or anything like that. You know, Pasquantino is a quality player, but
hurt last year.
Yeah, and Salvador Perez is just, you know, he's been there forever. I don't think they're going to keep this up. I don't think Cleveland's going to keep this up, but they're banking all these wins right now. So they're really putting a ton of space between them and the Tigers, and the Tigers just, they just don't feel like a team that's ever going to be able to put together a really long winning streak because they're so dependent on pitching well.
You know, I think the problem that I, you know, as Raj mentioned, you know, Cleveland is also playing well, like Kansas City. The odds of them both staying at this level, not great, but the odds of one of them, those odds go up. You know what I mean? One of them might hang in there and keep it going, you know, and push 95 wins this year, no problem. But I don't think two will, but I definitely think one could. It doesn't matter which one it is. You know, Bobby Witt, it's just where the organizations are. You know, the Tigers had number one picks and Casey Mize and Spencer Torkelson, and you're hoping to get cornerstone players with those picks, and hasn't happened. May not ever happen. Bobby Witt would have been a number one pick in many years. He probably would have been the number one pick in either year that Torkelson or Mize was drafted. But he was number two overall, but he's playing like a number one overall. And he's a guy you can build a winning team around. There's just not a real weakness in his game.
Yeah. And the one thing about Kansas City too, as far as like just getting their infield in order too, they have a pretty good infield too. And that benefits them. And Salvador Perez still can produce at his age. I mean, this guy's been pretty much I don't say, oh, you just wonder anything, but still be able to be a effective catcher at his age for how many games he has caught too. I mean, that's crazy. And so it's, I don't know, it doesn't bode well, but we're getting back to the Tigers. Really. It's just a matter of what is there to glean that is positive? Not much. I mean, honestly, I mean, the Arizona series was great and all, and they caught Arizona in a really good time. The bats came alive and there were some positives there. I mean, Cole Keith went 4 for 5 or 5. Yeah. 4 for 5 on, I think it was Saturday. And there's some good things you guys talked about that on Sunday, but I mean, you know, what have you done for me lately? That's the way you kind of look at it this way. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been a really bad, outside of two offensive outbreaks, you know, in Arizona, it's been a really bad, basically 2 weeks. And, but like I said, like, you know, you hear all the complaints right now. Everything's coming out. I mentioned, you know, they didn't spend enough money. And then yeah, you hear a lot of complaints about AJ Hinch now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what, like, I mean, I get it. You're going to complain about the manager and results are results, but AJ Hinch is not the problem with this team. People, you're complaining about him, you know, constantly doing the platoon stuff. And he's doing everything he can to have them win games. Now, if you're not concerned about winning games and you just want to develop players, then sure, you can leave the young guys in to face lefties. But like the platooning at this level it's kind of one of those things. Like, you remember the movie Moneyball, where like, do we believe in this or not? Like, you're either in it for a penny or you're in it for a pound, because like, league-wide, the numbers are pretty stark. And like, the right-handed platoon is not a big deal. It's like right-handers versus left-handed pitching is like a 103 WRC plus, and right-handers versus right-handed pitching is 96. But left-handed, it's enormous league-wide. It's like a 108 WRC plus against right-handed pitching and like an 84 against left-handed pitching. So you're either going to do it with everybody all the time or you're just going to kind of play by your gut. And that doesn't really do well. You know, I mean, obviously every manager has to make some decisions like that. Like they don't often, if ever, pinch hit for Riley Green against the left-handed hitter. Sometimes you have, you think, okay, this is a soft tossing lefty. He might be a better matchup for Colt Keith or something like that. But
yeah,
you know, people are complaining because it's, you know, they want to see the players against everybody, whatever. They want to give these guys chances, but he's doing what he can to try to give them any advantage. And it's just, you know, sometimes you're just limited by the talent you have.
Yeah. Very few managers look good at scoring one run. If your offense puts one run up there, you're not a good manager. And I mean that in a joking way. It's not his fault, but it's hard to, you're not going to get a lot of pat on the backs when your team is putting one run on the board. And it really, it's just a matter of the power on this team is not there. You know, when Spencer Torkelson is a complete dud in the power department, when Colt Keith has not put a home run on the board for them, and Riley Green is in the depths of where he is right now, kind of not drawing all the walks he was drawing and kind of fishing for some pitches I don't love. You know, they're just not going to score, and you're not going to be manager either when your team can't score.
Yeah, it's definitely a case of there's just so many different ways that you could polish a turd. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, it is, as Corey said in the chat, it is rough in these Motor City streets right now. Definitely I could agree with that. And so it's, the Tigers have some roster construction issues. And so it's, we can dwell on that as much as you can, but we'll get back on that. So right now it's time for the Inside the Numbers. Jed brought up a good question on the chat. We'll get to that question after our segment. Well, and his question is, do you think it hurts young guys, though? They come through playing every single day, and they sit 3 times a week or get 2 at-bats a game. It's hard to get going. And it is right to develop some sort of consistency with that. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I guess, I mean, the one thing I'll say is that they all know this. It's not a shocking to any of them. Like, they're prepared. They know before the game, here's who you might be coming in to face. If this guy comes in, you're going to be coming out of the game. It's not a huge shock to any of them. Obviously, you'd like I said, you can do it one way or the other. You can try to win games by playing the averages as much as possible, or you can try to develop players. And if we want them to bring up the young guys and try to develop them, that's fine. But again, that's not necessarily giving them the best chance to win. I would like to see Colt Keith bat against every left-hander possible. I want to see all these young guys play. We're prospect guys. We like that. But AJ Hinch is trying to win games, and it's a tough balancing act. And I get it. But he knows the locker room. He knows those guys. He makes sure they understand what their roles are and then they're prepared to come in for. Ibanez knows who he's gonna come in and face. Carpenter knows who he's gonna come face. They know it. It's just I'm sure if you ask all those players, they want to swing as much as possible. But that's just the way it is right now, unfortunately.
And I think that when the team was above 500 here early, and as long as they stay in some fashion in any kind of hunt, they should be chasing every small advantage they can to try to win. So I have no problem with the platoon situation and all of that. But when this team, if and when this team gets, 12 games under 500 and you can see the writing on the wall, then at that point, then definitely I would say, let's put the Colt Keith in there against every left-hander, and same with Carpenter, everything else, and ride it out that way.
Yeah, I agree. But it was a good question, so I felt we should get to it now before, just in case we didn't forget it. But inside the numbers.
Yeah, what's your inside the number?
My inside the number is a very simple one, 6. And it's a sad number. First baseman with 1,250 career plate appearances. Spencer Torkelson is the 6th worst of all. I think that's in the last 30 years, but still, it ain't good. He has kind of spiraled back a little bit. He showed a pulse there. I think he had, 8-game hitting streak, hit a couple home runs. He had one hard out tonight, but it's back to the same thing. He's taking some good pitches. When he does offer at a fastball, he's following it off, if not getting beat by it with a whiff. It's not the guy we saw in July and August of last year. That kid was confident, was, as everybody's saying, on time. He was hitting good pitches for home runs and doubles. He is just completely overmatched this year. It's hard to watch. Now you hope it's going to turn to June and he's going to do the same thing he did last year, but that's not as easy. That's much easier said than done. But again, I think with the way the team is, he's going to keep playing. He's going to keep batting 6th and 7th until he earns his way back. And hopefully he does. But through 1,250 career plate appearances, not so much.
All right, about you, Chris. What's your inside number?
So this is this one I alluded to. It is 31. 31. That is the number of months out of 35 since 2018 in which the Tigers offense has had a WRC plus of under 100. The entire team, 31 out of 35. They've had four months in the last 6 years where they've been even average. It doesn't really count. One of them was August 2020, which of course that season doesn't matter. And then June 2021 and July 2021, the salad days, 2 months in a row. And then last September 2023, they've had more months with the WRC plus under 80, 14 of them, which is, of course, 20% below average offense, then months over 90, which is only 10%. That's 13. It's like I said, it's obviously very hard to hit a baseball. They've got a 94 WRC plus heading into tonight. It's probably down a point or two. But it shouldn't be this hard for 6 years to have no offense for all but 4 months. I don't know what happened, what's going on, but it's got to get fixed at some point soon, because this is just, it's hard to watch, and they're losing fans.
Oh, how much more we got to lose?
Yeah, how much you want us to lose?
We're losing for 20 years.
All right, so my number is 15.7, and that is the year-to-year change, Alex Lang hard hit percentage. He went from 36.3% in 2023 to 52%. Next to him, right next to him, is one Mr. Gregory Soto, who has went from 34.8% to 50%. So he's at 15.2%. So If you're wondering why Alex Lang is in Toledo, among other reasons, including a temperature tantrum, whether that's debated or not, you know, allegedly.
What's that line you like to quote from the Who song? Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Yep.
Two former Tigers closers really giving up a lot of hard contact.
That's tough. Come as a surprise. As now the second Who reference we've had on the show this evening, because earlier, was it the Deadly Ninja Bees did the David Caruso? The Tony Stark couldn't build a lineup with these boxes of scraps. That's a comment from Deadly Ninja Bees.
He built some sort of artificial heart in a cave.
Yeah,
I think he could figure it out.
It's and the bullpen too hasn't been exactly great, but so that's where we're at with that. And what's interesting too about the whole demotion too is that it was just, it started with him. I mean, you don't want to, Hinch saying, look, you know, you got to be a professional out there. You chewed him out. Whatever was said was said. And you can't tell me that has nothing to do with it. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, It's a combination of a couple of things. I had a bonus inside the number tonight, which is the Tigers' bullpen ERA in May, which is 5.43. It was 2.88 in April, which is the seventh best. The 5.43 is the third worst, ahead of only Minnesota and Texas. And it's basically an equal opportunity where it's everybody has an ERA over five except for Brisky, Vest, and Holton.
Wow.
And so, like, the options that they could have sent down are Fido, Wentz, or they can't send Wentz down, right? He's out of options. So Lang was really one of the only guys they could send down, and he hasn't been pitching well, and he had that little, you know, meltdown, and they need help. As we talked about, the bullpen was taxed. So they're just not in a great situation right now, I think it's – I mean, they may have sent him down no matter what, but I don't know. They probably weren't sending him down if he goes out there and strikes out the side, instead of giving up, you know, four or five runs and throwing a temper tantrum, right? Like, I think that had something to do with it, not nothing.
Yeah. And we did get a comment in there about the Carson Kelly experience. Dingler had two home runs tonight. I know there's been talk about that. Defensively, we talked about this in the minor league podcast yesterday for our breakdown of the top 30. Defensively, he's there. Offensively is where do you want to go out and have him come up and strike out four or five times? And I mean, is he ready to handle major league pitching? That's the biggest thing about Dylan Dingler. I mean, he can hit for power when he connects, and you know, is it something where defensively he can catch a good game, but if he's not there offensively, you don't want to blow a guy's confidence out. So
what is he, 26?
He's going to be 26, I think, later this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty – but that's not crazy for a catcher, right?
No,
we've seen that many times that you know, these guys, they have so much to work on that eventually the offense may be coming around in their late 20s. But, yeah, like, I get it. But you're not – again, you're not going to ask Dylan Dingler to come up and be the savior for this offense. Like, yeah. I don't think he can do it, for one. Not that I don't like some of his offensive ability. I just that's asking a lot. That's the thing. It's like Carson Kelly and Jake Rogers are one of the better defensive tandems in baseball. Like, you can go on Baseball Savant and look it up. Carson Kelly is tied with Adley Rutschman in blocks above average for the best in baseball. They both got good arms. They both frame well. Like, that's what they want them for. And I don't think they're going to mess that up, whatever rapport they have with the pitchers and the defense are playing, by trying to bring up another bat behind the plate. I get it. These guys aren't doing much with the sticks at all, but that's the one position where I don't think they're going to really mess around.
Yeah. If they're going to be a team that's more concerned about defense and the funnel stuff. And that's what Hinch is all about. And I like what Samuel said here in the comment. The answer is, he says, at one point, can we have an honest conversation about Harris and the Harris era so far? Well, someone slamming the table saying they should have spent, and retort being, who are they going to sign? Because that's always a good retort, and that's always a retort that seems to happen. And he says the answer so far in the Harris era isn't that we shouldn't spend a lot of money with Miggy coming off the books. It can't be that Harris is genius. It can't be questioned either. It's a middle ground. And I can tell you this. I can tell you it's a mixture of a couple things. To me, what I have noticed is on the plus side, you have pitching development. You have some things that are developing from the farm system that are they're promising, that have shown the ability to pay off. Okay, that being said, downside of that all, you still have to sort through some bad drafts. The Tigers have had some bad drafts over the last couple of years. It doesn't mean, like, is it paying off with Cole Keith and some others? Yeah, sure. But they still haven't developed hitting. And when you don't develop hitting, like you look at the Royals, for example, the opposite of that. Vinny Pascolino, I mean, he worked on button up his shirt and he got out of his hitting streak. But also, it's the ability. It's also, you have to see how aggressive Harris is on the trade front or acquiring players that are just like, you know, not Easton Lucas. Who the hell is that?
Yeah.
The pitcher who blew a save tonight for Toledo. It's one of those things where you can flip guys on waivers all you want. Try that with San Francisco. Doesn't mean it's going to work here. What you have to do is just either identify talent somewhere else and make a move for it, or just get better at or spend a little bit. You know, of course, spending money would throw money at everything. You can't do it either. But they got so far the most intelligent thing in terms of smart guy in the room thing we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, and I get.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help, because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly, easier said, done.
It, like, people want things to turn around quickly, and we're used to, you know, Dave Dombrowski came in and it still took 4 years for him to field a competitive team. But he made a bunch of really impressive trades. That's been his hallmark forever. I think baseball's a little bit different now. In general, you don't see you just don't see a ton of trades outside of Seattle trading everyone all the time. But I think we talked about this on the side, I think a little bit, Rogelio, was that I feel like that Scott Harris and Mark Connor and the new kind of drafting development team, that they have a particular kind of offensive profile that they'd like. And they came into a system with not many guys like that. And they may, you know, pitching development is just so far more advanced than hitting development right now. I mean, some organizations are better than others, obviously, but there's only so much you can do with guys. And I just, we talked about some of the players that were high draft picks over the last four or five drafts before Harris got here, just don't fit the mold of the players that we think that they're taking. You know, we talked about, they took Max Clark and Kevin McGonigal and Max Anderson were their first three picks. All three of those guys are plus bat to ball players. And I think that's kind of something we're going to see going forward. And Max Clark has all the other tools too, right? Like, so it's just, I don't think we'll see the Peyton Graham and Isaac Pacheco types of second rounders anymore, where they have some really loud tools, but the hitting lags behind. I just don't think that we're going to see that. And unfortunately, that means it may be a few years before we start seeing some of this offensive talent bubble up to the surface, because it's just not the type of players that they think they can fix or improve.
And you only get one draft class per year.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been here that long. Sounds like they've spent a chunk of this time building up the operational staff, right, at all levels of the minors. And that took some time to put together an off season. He's had, the one main draft with Max Clark. It's going to take a couple more if they proceed to go this route. And I don't see Ilitch, who should come up more in these conversations, going back to what I've been saying for a long, long time. It's his team. He's at the top of the food chain. But, if they're not going to sign free agents, and again, the free agent, it's not like it was in 1978 when good players were out there, okay? There are fewer and fewer really big names out there, and the ones who are gravitate to some of the bigger markets, and that's just how it's going to be, I think. We're going to really find out over the course of the next 2 and 3 years. It's going to take that long to see what Scott Harris has the chops to win a significant amount of trades, or at least be perceived to have won. We don't know yet. People can say he hasn't done it. Well, okay. But really, in the course of the team history, he's been here a very microscopic amount of time. So I'm not too worried, per se, about Scott Harris. It's just a matter of, the early returns right now offensively look bad. And there's no way to sugarcoat it other than the fact they're going to keep building the organization and try to find some bats that can fit.
If you're going to blame, I think that what Samuel said earlier too, there is a little bit of a narrative that Chris Ilitch deserves some of the blame, and not necessarily blame, but just if maybe he is handcuffed. I mean, again, the biggest thing that stood out to me in the press conference at the end of the year when I went was when he was asked about spending money, and Harris made this face like somebody farted and was just like, well, I don't know if we're going to be spending money. And it's just like this. He didn't like the I'm assuming just based off his reaction that the implied sense they're going to spend money, they were going to wisely look at what they had was out there. And the free agent market, as much as people are like, well, go sign this guy, how do you know he has any interest coming here? Chris, to your point is, it's going to take a couple years before the Tigers could see returns on the hitting side of things out there. But the one thing, like many, I love what old BK said here. So may every person out there be granted the patience y'all have given Harris before he actually has produced results on his job. Look, he hasn't, as far as like being on the trade side of things, Matt Verling is his only credit right now. You can't give the trade with Lee down in Double A anything, because he hasn't gone to the major leagues yet. So there's no real history. I mean, you can see right now the Matt Verling trade. It's like, well, that's kind of a bad way to start, but it's just Detroit Tiger fan, I think, probably said it best. The entire mess is on Pizza Boy. Blaming on anyone else who loses is just plain stupid. There's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B with that.
Well, I think. I don't think it's like, I don't think that the front office is confused about where they need, what issues they need to address. I mean, look at the trades that they have made. How many pitchers have they traded for? One, Jake Higginbotham, I think, was in the Justin Henry Molloy trade. Every other trade they've made, they got Donnie Sands, Nick Maton, and Matt Vierling. Obviously, those weren't the players that they'd hoped they'd be, but it was one pitcher for three hitters. They traded Joe Jimenez for Justin Henry Molloy as a pitcher for a hitter. They traded Michael Lorenzen for Hayu Lee, it was a hitter. They traded cash for Eddie's Lannard. They needed more hitter. We think that the Erod trade was probably for a couple hitters. Know they need more hitters. It's just like, to Yoop's point, like it's just harder to find them. It shouldn't be this hard again. But again, like I was using the comparison to the Orioles. I think Mike Elias took over in late 2018. and almost all of their top young hitters were acquired in the next few drafts. You can go down line: Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Jackson Holliday, Kobe Mayo, Connor Norby, Joey Ortiz. Like, those are, I think the drafting and the development has to go hand in hand. And I think that's where, you know, they had a couple holdovers from the previous regime, but then again, so did Scott Harris. You know, you got Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, Wenzel Perez, all these guys are holdovers, but it may just take a couple more years, unfortunately, for that, the system to start producing hitters. And I know it's not fun to wait, and everybody wants them to go and get those big bats when they can in free agency, but it's just tough. There's never necessarily the perfect target out there.
Yeah, we'll have to revisit this. Let's just go inside the good, the bad, the ugly this week. Because we've talked about the ugly plenty with the Tigers this week, but I'm sure there's some other ugly stories around baseball. All right, Chris, what is the good, bad, ugly this week?
And again, I had this all set up for last week, so I'm just kind of reusing them, although I didn't. Yeah. I touched on it on Sunday, but my good is Chris Sale, who looks like he's back to being the elite Chris Sale again, which I didn't really expect. I mean, he's 35, I think. He's right now, he's 7-1 with a 2.22 ERA this year. The fastball sitting at 95. His slider has a 41% whiff rate. He's striking out 32% of the batters he faces and walking fewer than 4%. In May, he's 4-0 with a 0.36 ERA. Mm. And again, this is like after 3 years of being injured, and the Red Sox kind of gave up on him, traded him for Vaughn Grissom, who is doing a whole lot of nothing for Boston right now. I know he's injured, but I think he's batting like 140 in 15 games in the big leagues this year. So, yeah, good for Atlanta getting what looks like an ace pitcher there in Chris Sale. My bad, I kind of touched on this, but not really, is Mark Canha in May. Again, it's not just Riley Green having a terrible May. Mark Canha is actually one of the worst players in baseball right now. He had the night off tonight after, I think he was 0 for 15 with 5 strikeouts in his last 4 games. But he's just 9 for 64 in May, which is a 143 batting average. It's the worst, ranked 179th out of 179 qualified hitters in May. One homer, no other extra base hits, 8 walks, 21 strikeouts. It's a 29 WRC plus. He's still a 112 WRC plus for the season because he was solid in April. But like I said, you know, with both Canha and Green struggling, it's not a huge surprise that the offense isn't doing anything, because those were the two guys who were kind of driving the offense in April.
Yeah, two on base sources.
Yeah, and my ugly is actually the Texas Rangers rotation. They just had to put John Gray on the IL today. He's been one of the best pitchers in the American League so far this year. He has a groin injury, I think. And so that you go ahead and add him to Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer and Nathan Eovaldi. And I don't know if Tyler Mahle was supposed to come back or not, but he's not pitching. So their current rotation is Dane Dunning, Andrew Haney, Michael Lorenzen, Jose Ureña, and probably Jack Leiter, who we saw in Detroit, and that's kind of ugly right now. That's tough.
Yeah, don't forget Derek Hill's coming back up though. It's gonna help the Texas offense.
Derek Hill is up there. Daz Cameron hit a home run, a game tying home run for the A's tonight.
Love it. I'm telling you, Victor Reyes is next. He's gonna be back with somebody.
In Japan? Nah.
He's coming back.
No, he's not. I would disagree with that. All right, Youper, what is your good, bad, the ugly this week?
Well, I guess the only good, you know, when it comes to the Tigers right now is Hernan Perez, Colt Keith, and on another level, Parker Meadows, a lower level. There's not a lot else to hang our hats on these days, but Colt Keith, you know, I think you can see some different. He was taking a big he was lifting his front leg quite a bit early on with a big step. He looks like he's taking a smaller little slide right now to me. I think other people have been talking about that too. You can see the difference. You can see he's getting more consistent contact. He's not going to get that home run until he, you know, really lets one fly here. You know, he's getting a lot of singles, and that's okay. Tonight I saw one pitch. He fouled it off, but he took a big cut. I mean, you could see he saw the pitch. He felt confident enough to really open up, and he ended up on one knee like Reggie Jackson, okay, which I had never seen him do that before this season. So I'm really encouraged. I think the little change that they've made, whoever has suggested that to him, it's working. And let's just hope that he takes off on a, you know, in a way that he has at other stops up the chain, where he wasn't so great early on, got adjusted, and then just poof, went. And that could happen. You know, Hernan Perez, despite making probably the most awkward attempt at a wall, at a home run saving catch tonight, that was not pretty. But offensively, that was a wonderful at bat tonight when he knocked in that run, almost had two RBIs.
Did you see Hernan Perez?
Did I?
You said Hernan Perez, right?
You mean Wenzel. Wenzel,
Wenzel, right?
Oh my gosh, yes, Wenzel.
No, I was gonna say, I'm like, wait, former infielder for the
no, I get it. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. I get it. But
Hernan, yeah. Whatever. Sorry. Hernan Perez, still one of the most underrated plays in recent Tiger time, when he from the bench saw that Sal Perez did not take up in Kansas City on that line drive play, and the Tigers appealed and got an out there. Big in winning the division that year. Always got to keep that in mind for good old Hernan Perez. But yeah, Wenzel Perez. Sorry, that's embarrassing. But whatever I said about it, that's what I meant about him. Wenzel. Parker Meadows hitting some home runs, making consistent contact at Toledo. You know, hopefully that means, you know, it's going to be interesting. How long do they make him prove it down there? Is it just merely when there's an injury up in at the big club? Or can he hit enough where they have to bring him back? That's going to be a kind of a fun thing to watch, and hopefully he makes the decision hard for them. Bad? I saw a thing today. The commissioner mentioned no automatic strike zone in 2025. They still feel they have too many technical glitches to overcome predict put that in place next year. I'm not surprised. You know, I think a lot of times, because it's what we have, we believe that little box on the screen is gospel. And I don't think it is. I think there are some pitches that are coming from some angles that I don't think that box we see on the screen is completely accurate. But whatever, they must not feel good with some of the data they're getting from the lower levels to predict they'll have this in the major leagues next year. So the umpire's got to stay sharp. And we're going to get more Angel Hernandez strike zones for at least another year or so after this year. So I think eventually we'll have at least the challenge system in the big leagues, if not the full boat. Hard to say. I don't know. You what have you guys heard from the minors? What the players think? Anything?
You know, I have
the challenge and the full system.
I actually haven't talked to anybody about that. We haven't really talked to players about the ABS system. What's interesting though is that you watch the games and there don't seem to be any real technical issues. The only thing I can think of is that they're not particularly, too concerned if there are mistakes. Like they just go, the box called it. It's fine. But I think at the big league level that they probably want to have the calibration, you know, down to the micrometer or whatever, and maybe that's not what's going on in the minors. But
I did hear something on the Butthead's broadcast a couple weeks back. They're talking about how players have responded, how the challenge system has worked pretty quickly, because the time of the games have been pretty the same. So that there was the one thing that I forgot what player they mentioned, that he was mentioning the broadcast, but they're basically, he was saying that they, for how quick they can turn it around on the instant replay, they've been pretty happy with the results of that so far.
I know the one thing that they've been talking about down in Lakeland is that they really want the players to be a little bit thoughtful about the pitches they challenge. They don't want them to, they want them to know, like, okay, if it's the difference between, like, you know, 2-0 and 1-1, like, it's okay. Or if it's the first inning, like, just go ahead and let it slide. Cause you know, you don't want to lose them all and not have them when you need them. But, some players are still quite fond of doing them. Max Clark has done it a bunch, and he has a very good eye, and he's usually right. So there you go.
Oh, and my ugly. Well, we've talked about it already. I was going to talk about Alex Lang. You know, I've never been a big Alex Lang guy. I'm not one of his big proponents over the last couple of years. Certainly when he's pitching well, he's got a lot of good stuff, and he can have the impressive outing when he's making people chase. But again, I'm at the point with him, I don't care if he ever comes back. I mean, I'll root for the guy, obviously, and I have no personal animus to him. I don't care about his little temper tantrum. Those things happen. I mean, you know, it's a competitive deal, and guys get pissed, and that happens. Sometimes you don't control yourself like you should. I don't think that's been an ongoing problem to any of our knowledge with him. Hopefully it's a one-off. But it's just the fact that, you know, he's walking so many people, 18%, whatever it was. He can't get people out too often in the strike zone with that curveball. He's got to rely on people chasing. And again, I've always wanted, you know, I'm siding with Jim Leland. I want guys who can get outs in the strike zone. And Alex Lang ain't one of them. Luke's still not at this time. Hopefully they can work with him in the minors and he comes back and looks better. But I think he is where he's supposed to be right now.
I think that's the good point, Uper. I think he is supposed to be where he's supposed to be because, I mean, even I remember in Lakeland, too, he seemed like just kind of temperamental about the whole thing. I'm just in general. So, yeah, the whole thing is just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Laughing at a couple comments in there. Sorry.
Yeah. So some of the comments are pretty good in there.
I don't know. It's you hope that he figures things out, but it is tough. It's tough to be a reliever. Like, Aroldis Chapman has like a 20% walk rate, I think, or something like that. And you know, it's you can get away with it maybe if you're striking out 18 batters per nine, but
exactly.
That's about the only way. And I don't know. You just got to hope that he figures it out because there were times when he was very good and other times not so much.
All right. So my good this week is there's two things with it. First and foremost, they announced today the World Baseball Classic host city. So it's going to be Tokyo, San Juan, Houston, and Miami. So Miami, it's going back to Miami, and World Baseball Classics in 2026. So it's sort of a few years away. So if you want to start planning now, I want to go. I would love to go to the one in Japan. That'd be awesome. And that would be the first time Houston's hosted it. So that is that's how it works. Usually the first round pools are hosted in these different cities. So the final will be taking place again in Miami. So they'll be doing it again at the one of the stupidest names in baseball, Lone Depot Park. So when you think of baseball, you think of Lone Depot Park. I understand sponsorships make the world go round. Hell, we're always looking for a sponsor, but good Lord, that name's stupid. I'm sorry. It's stupid. So anyway, sorry, but if Lone Depot wanted to sponsor us, then No, we're not going to sell it like that. Okay, so another thing today, we mentioned Dave Dombrowski, and it was fitting because the Phillies were wearing the throwbacks today. The Phillies 29-6, 35-game stretch is the best since 1892. The Phillies are just on fire, and it is just in terms of just getting strong pitching, they're just doing things on a daily basis. This is just manhandling teams too. They have won six straight. The depth has really been helping them a lot, and wearing those 80s uniforms too. I love out of all the uniforms out there, the teams have out there, please keep like that Phillies 80s blue and maroon. Keep that permanently. It's one of my favorite combinations. I remember when I was a kid, when the baseball cards came and they had the striped jerseys, those are awesome. Before we get too sidetracked, Lone Depot Park or Guaranteed Rate Field? I would go with Lone Depot Park. Guaranteed Rate still sucks too, but Guaranteed allow less than two runs each start.
I mean, it's not like, you know, Comerica isn't a particularly appealing name either. We're just used to it.
Yeah, Copa. You can shorten it up and call it Copa, and then it's not so bad. So
I haven't heard anybody do that in forever, though. I remember people doing that a lot when they first opened.
Yeah, but then maybe people don't like Barry Manilow, Copacabana. I don't know. I don't know what that's all about. But my bad this week, and it's really kind of like a teams that kind of fall. We always look at this like towards the 50 game mark as we head to march towards it, how teams are doing that. They're starting off with a really good start. The Pirates have come down the earth a little bit. But the Oakland A's have also fallen back a little bit. But the one team that still stays constant and true is the Colorado Rockies. Ladies and gentlemen, the Colorado Rockies, the reason why they're my bad this week is, I mean, obviously, of course, they're just a bad team to watch, but they, in the month of May, have been, I mean, they've been somewhat better. It was, they've been 9-10. But the reason why I mention this is because you got to be, as a Rockies fan, you're sitting there going, okay, well, they're 9-10 after this horrendous start. But you know, I mean, they lost 5-0 until they won yesterday. And I'm not sure if they won today or not, but you know they're not going to do any. They're not going to have a fire sale kind of thing, because if this team gets competitive a little bit, they're not going to rock the boat a little bit. The reason why it's just the rock. It, you talk about being a tight. I mean, this is a team that won 7 in a row. Get all hyped up for it, then you lose 6 in a row, and they're just. So they lost an extra inning today. So this is a team that the reason why I think it's bad. Think about the Tigers fan. Like Tigers, imagine being Rockets fans. In terms of attendance too, they are still like. I remember Chris. Weren't you telling me that when you were driving by there for a Rockies game, it was packed?
Yeah, I think there's an element of kind of like the Cubs there in Denver, where people go and just have a good time at the games, yeah. Regardless of how well the team is doing, and which is unfortunate because that's a really good fan base and they deserve a better product. I am kind of the Colorado has produced a fair amount of international talent over the last 10, 15 years, and I'm still kind of annoyed that they can do that and the Tigers can't. But hey, maybe turn around for the Tigers.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I hope so. But I bring up the Rockies because the Rockies just it's an infuriating product to have. It's bad because you know, as soon as like I said, they might go on another 5-game winning streak. Who knows? And they will find a way to not do anything and just kind of stay complacent. So, and the ugly is the Reds. The Reds have had it's been kind of like a some really weird injuries, and you find out they have a drug suspension too. And so after a strong start, this year towards the last, they're -7. But it's they're since April 2018. This was a team that could be, I mean, in terms of just like, possibilities at me in the postseason too. I mean, you have Matt McClain, who during spring training, remember when he hurt his shoulder by diving for a ball, and then he had to repair his labium. It's just like after that, but like you have all this talent on there, and then the Marte suspension too. I mean, his numbers down in the minor leagues last year, but some of the guys they were expecting to step up have not. So, you talk about the Tigers offense, the Reds offense is just as bad. It's not worse. So their young core players like Will Benson, who had a really good OPS plus last year. I mean, right now he's batting 191. What are you going to do? So the Reds are just in kind of that, just in the fury mode too as well. So, I mean, and Jonathan India is not hitting up to under, you know, and then Candelario looks back to the old Candelario too. So
which old Candelario?
the bad version of Candelario. But good call there. The Luis Arraez trade. I mean the back four hit command, God. That just hit. And now he's in San Diego's lineup. That's just crazy. But so I just wanted to end that on a bad note too, because Alex Diaz too has been terrible on the bullpen. I mean, yeah, it's all bad news all around.
Yeah, I mean that's a good point. Like the Reds look like one of the more exciting young teams in baseball heading into the season, and just about everything has gone wrong. They still have some solid pitching, but Lodolo just can't seem to stay healthy.
Right.
And I guess you know that's what the one thing that Scott Harris kept trying to warn us, right? That the young hitters are inconsistent, and that's like they're finding that out in Cincinnati. But I don't know that was. I mean, Ellie De La Cruz is going bonkers still, but that other than that, yeah, he's not getting a whole lot of help. So feel for our friends in the Queen City? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a cool name for a city, though, too. The Queen City. So, yeah. there's another good comment in here, too, where he's, where your DH is Mike Ford hitting 161. Yeah, that's not going to help at all. So, that is the good, the bad, the ugly for this week. Yeah. But beyond that, though, just outside of the normal complaints about the Tigers, I just wanted to see if do we have any, no, we, if there's any final questions for the show, just let us know. Any final thoughts, gentlemen, before we get out of here?
Well, I mean, you know, three more with Toronto. Toronto has pretty good pitching. So I don't know how, if this offense is going to wake up anytime soon. It's, you know, the Tigers have a four-game series, and they don't have Scooble pitching in any of the four games. That's kind of a bummer.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I said you have to figure they're going to pull one or two games out, but, you know, it's the way they're swinging the bats right now. Who knows?
So, I think tomorrow is an opportunity. I mean, Alek Manoah, he's got a couple good outings under his belt, but he's been terrible for the better part of a year and a half, you know? And if they're going to win a game to get back on track a little bit, you would like to think they could get to this guy. He's basically a two-pitch pitcher, you know? And not many starters get by with that, and I think that's part of what his problems were. So, you know, if they can get a decent start tomorrow and then just get on Manoah early would be great. You know, early run scoring would be a godsend for this team. You know, the Royals won that last series at home. Actually, they swept two series in a row, the A's and the Tigers. They scored first in every game. They scored in the first inning in four of the games. She scored in the second inning in the other two. So early offense would be nice, and that would start with maybe Mr. Riley Green getting back on track here.
Yeah, and that's Tigers are pitching Matt Manning. Is that right?
I thought he was Friday. Am I wrong? I could be.
The app right now says, well, tomorrow is Friday, right?
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow's Friday. I'm really doing well here. I'm doing very well.
Well, I think if memory serves me, the last time Matt Manning took the mound against the Blue Jays, he threw part of a no-hitter. So,
and broke his foot.
I don't think he broke his foot in that game, but but maybe there's a little bit more Matt Manning magic and the Tigers can pull out a 2-0 victory in a no-hitter. But yeah, I don't know. It's been rough. I understand the fans getting frustrated, and you have to hope that some of the bats figure it out and start to put together some quality games, because boy, there's nothing worse than watching bad offense. And Tigers fans have had a lot of years of watching this. So,
yeah, that's a good way to end the show, especially with Paul Skeens coming to town next week. So yep. there's that.
Who's and then Jared Jones is pitching lights out for them too, for Pittsburgh. Yep.
Yeah. So nice
1-2 punch.
Yeah, the Tigers don't have an easy time next couple next week or so. So thanks so much for listening. We'll be back. Well, I don't know about Sunday. Sunday's still kind of like an up in the air show, but actually we'll play it by ear. And to all who have served on Memorial Day, thank you again for the veterans who listen to the show. And I want to mention this one more time because I thought this was important. I mentioned this on Monday during the minor league podcast, and I thought it was just worth mentioning that it is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so I think baseball is doing a really good job of mentioning this, and I thought we should mention this too. We're not getting sponsorship for it, but mental health for somebody such as myself who goes through who suffers through depression and when those things, they're partnering with the Crisis Text Line. A free 24/7 confidential text-based mental health service. If I wish I could talk, that'd be better for my mental health. If you're feeling feelings of loneliness, sadness, or just being overwhelmed, you're not alone. You can text MLB to 741-741 or reach out to a crisis counselor at a crisis text line, or you can connect via web chat at crisistextline.org. So, on that note, thanks so much for listening. We'll be back on either Sunday, or check out the minor league podcast. Check out all our stuff over at TigersMLReport.com. Updated scouting reports, our top 30 breakdown, and more. So until then, Have a good night, everybody, and try to enjoy some baseball here in the next couple days.
Stay classy.
Stay classy.